Meta's finally changing their headsets thanks to Apple. You can fit a petabit on a disc like this, and Microsoft's going to force you to update your Windows. Let's get into the hot news, everybody. I'm your Brett host. We're going to be going over the hottest tech news that I can find on the internet while you enjoy your breakfast this Thursday, February 22nd, 2024. I'm going to start off today talking about some new developments that are coming out with regards to things like the MetaQuest and the changes that are happening with those devices, especially since the Apple Vision Pro came out. Number one, it's been announced that they're working on an experimental neural wristband controller to make it so that it has full access to your hands in the VR mixed reality space, making it so that your hand is replicated one for one using a wristband that conducts electrical signals through it to see where your finger positioning is, rather than implanting a chip like some other people might have been considering doing into your little brain. We'll have to see if this is actually a good replacement for something like the tap to use gesture that Apple has on the Vision Pro, if this is a worthwhile upgraded accessory for more immersion, or if this is just some sort of prototype that's never going to see the light of day. But something that Meta is hoping sees the light of your eyeballs is having AirPlay enabled on the MetaQuest devices. They've asked Apple if they could have AirPlay, and it's just a matter of Apple giving them the permission so that you can display your iPhone stuff onto your little Android headset, you plebeian, if that's the way you want to do it. But the way MetaQuest wants to do it is make sure that you have feet in VR. We all remember legs are very important. And it's been shown off that there is a new hand tracking update that's coming out to the MetaQuest, which allows you to use both controller and finger gestures at the same time. And part of the way that this works might potentially enable your ability to use your feet in VR tracking in the future. So this is a lot of development that's come out about the MetaQuest and all of their devices in the last week. It's been like a surge of news. You have to believe that a lot of the pressure that's come from the Apple Vision Pro is definitely hitting on Meta. That was one of the things that I said in my review video of the Vision Pro. I am excited for the future of Apple's device, but I'm also very, if not more, excited about where Meta is going to take their next set of devices and the changes that they're going to make based on what Apple's brought to the market. I'm excited to see how all of this shakes out, which I'm also excited to see how this is shaking out. Today's video sponsor, which is our brand new coffee company, Rare Brew Coffee Co. We are officially launching in a week on Rare Disease Day, February 29th, 2024. This has been a project that my wife and I have been working on behind the scenes for quite some time. We want a sustainable company that we can run outside of the YouTube business, and this is something that is near and dear to our hearts. You can read our story over on the Rare Brew Coffee website, but we wanted to make sure that we found a supplier for the coffee that's getting it ethically, sustainably, it's good for the farmers, it's good for the people who are drinking it because it's absolutely delicious, and a portion of every single bag you purchase goes to SynGap Research Fund so that we can help find the cure for my son's rare disease, something that's near and dear to our hearts. We drink a lot of coffee. This is some mighty delicious coffee. We've been drinking it for months now, before we even had a label, before we even had a name. We've been trying out this coffee and it's absolutely phenomenal. And right now, if you want, you can pre-order it at the link in the video description. And if you use the code UFD10, you can save 10% off of your first order with us, the first pre-order, if you want to do it that way. We also have free shipping over orders of $50. This is a big deal for us. If you want to help us by getting in your pre-order now, that's going to make sure that we're well stocked for the official launch on Rare Disease Day next week. But we're excited to have this finally happening, and it would mean a lot if the UFD Tech viewers would join us in launching this Rare Brew Coffee company. And Apple's launching quantum cryptographic encryption into iMessage as of their latest iOS on 17.4. This is something that Apple says is the strongest security properties of any at-scale messaging protocol in the world, using the post-quantum cryptographic protocol called PQ3. Apple saying that this is a huge deal, especially as we're moving into quantum computers that can break traditional cryptography methods. It's going to be necessary for a lot of different encryption methods that are moving forward, and so Apple's excited to have this. They're not the first messaging app to bring post-quantum cryptographic security to their messaging platform. That would be Signal, but Apple argues that that is PQ1, and Signal's talking about potentially entering into PQ2, but Apple is more secure because they are at level 3, which allows for PQC key establishment and ongoing PQC rekeying, which is something that Signal does not have, even though they're moving to level 2. So this is something that is going to have to change as we move forward, especially since Apple highlights in their announcement of this of the harvest now, decrypt later method that people are using when it comes to data breaches. It might be encrypted right now with some of the best methods we have out on the market, but if you could just hold that data long enough, eventually a quantum computer can potentially break that in the future. And if you can gain all the resources from hacking a bunch of people, it will be well worth it. So getting ahead of this trend, getting ahead of quantum computing is something that Apple's looking to do. I'm interested in this. This is something that is exciting. It's, again, one of those things that, like, people want to argue that, like, oh, Apple should just allow for regular SMS on their platform, or Apple should have just used USB-C on their iPhone. But the reality is iMessage had end-to-end encryption before most Android phones did. The iPhone had Lightning before USB-C was being mainstream adopted. My first USB-C device was the Nintendo Switch back in 2015. Apple tends to get ahead of things and then keep it there for a while, and then you would argue, yeah, things should change eventually, but it's not as if Apple wasn't forward-thinking at one point, which is what we're seeing here, because they want you to look at the present now with live sports. They have Apple Sports. It's their new app, which is going to put games on your phone. You can look at it and see all the game scores for your favorite teams and sports and all of that good stuff. It'll also show betting odds. In case you're interested in that, you could also turn it off. In case you don't like it, it's going to be in the dynamic island. Apple Sports, sporting all over, which is what Google's doing when it comes to their large language models. They've announced that they have two new ones that you can have running on your local PC. They're called Gemma, and they're based on the same platform as Gemini, which is their large language model over name that they're calling everything. And there's going to be two versions of Gemma, the 2B and the 7B, based on how many parameters you're using, and these are meant to be lightweight versions of the full thing that can run on a laptop, on a desktop, making it so that it's in developers' hands for the things you want to do. And NVIDIA actually announcing that they are partnering with Google to bring Gemma to chat with RTX, which is their new feature where you can talk to your graphics card and have it search your computer for you. You could potentially use Google stuff to do that. And with all this data we got to be storing everywhere, you might want to consider the return of physical media, because researchers have found the ability to put a 1 petabit capacity on an optical disc, which is a lot. That's 125 terabytes. That would be roughly 2 meters of Blu-ray discs. It's a lot of storage onto one single format. I don't know what we call this, a Red Ray? Potentially? What's the new name gonna be? And is there gonna be a Betamax version? Is there gonna be an HD DVD versus Blu-ray war going on again? I don't know, but I'm gonna war with Reese, because I think he might be doing deals today. No deals from Reese. What the heck, man? Well, I got a deal for you in case you're into the Fallout games and you like little fancy cases. Bethesda announcing the Fallout Special Anthology for PC, which is a nice little nuke container that has the Steam codes for the various games that you could potentially get, from Fallout to Fallout 4 to Fallout New Vegas to Fallout 76 on this little mini nuke. I remember having this thing back when Fallout 4 launched on the channel 8 years ago. This is wild. This makes me look a lot like my son. Holy crap. Young Brett's young, but looks like they're re-releasing it. I don't know if the bomb itself is updated. It looks like it has the same button, which makes like an atomic bomb noise. Pew, you know, something like that. It looks roughly similar, but in case you're interested, you could potentially pick that up. But you might not be able to pick up liquid coolers from Silverstone, Enermax, or potentially the company that makes all of those, which is known as Apaltech, because they're being sued by Cooler Master for a couple of different things. Number one, the fact that their pump inside radiator design is something that Cooler Master says that they've invented, as well as the ARGB mini controller that goes into those. So that's a lot of different coolers, like the Ice Mist or the Ice Gem from Silverstone, as well as the Enermax LickMax and LickTech versions. But Tech Power Up reached out to one of the companies that was named in the lawsuit, and they said that this was nothing but a bullying strategy, because number one, Cooler Master was subject to this by Asetek back in 2016-2017. Number two, there are other companies that use Apaltech's design, such as MSI, and they're not being listed in this lawsuit because Cooler Master and MSI are on two different scales. So potentially Cooler Master is going after the smaller companies who don't have as many resources to compete with them when it comes to the litigation. So we'll have to wait and see how all of this plays out. We've also talked about how Lee and Lee is suing Fantex for some of their fan designs. So there's a lot of litigation going on the patent side of PC hardware right now, and we'll have to wait and see how that shakes out. And we found out how one of the court rulings shook out when it comes to piracy. Cox, the cable company, which I had in Florida and I absolutely despise because they're service sucked. Their pricing was ridiculous. I paid $350 a month for gigabit internet, but that was only down, and it was 35 up, which is very difficult to run a YouTube channel on. Like, I can upload our hot news videos here in, like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, whereas when I was in Florida, it would take hours. And if, you know, the power run out or there was some hiccup, it was a whole mess. But Cox was found guilty of a lawsuit when it came to their enablement of pirates to be able to get certain illicit goods on the internet, just downloading them willy-nilly. You wouldn't download your grandma. Well, turns out that a judge decided to overturn the ruling, which was a damage assessment of $1 billion that Cox was going to potentially have to pay to Sony and a couple of other companies like Universal and Warner. The judge, however, ruling that that $1 billion was ridiculous. It's too much. It's not something that should be happening, and so it's been stricken from the record. However, the jury's finding of willful contributory infringement is still being upheld because they did enable their people who were found guilty of pirating based on their IP addresses and then were told to stop, and they did nothing about it, didn't stop, and Cox didn't do anything about it. The ruling that they have to pay $1 billion is seen as absurd, so there's going to be a new trial for the damages to be figured out with hopefully some more reasonable individuals, which is what we all think of Redditors and people who comment on Reddit, because they're going to be able to get the first dibs at the IPO stock for Reddit when it happens in March. According to reports, 75,000 of the most prolific Redditors will be able to buy an as yet undetermined number of shares before trading starts when the Reddit stock goes public. Reddit not really talking about how they're determining who gets to buy it, what a prolific Redditor means, or what the criterion are, but it does appear like they want their shareholders to be users and their users to be shareholders, which is something that the CEO of Reddit is saying. However, he's not really in the favor of the community, especially if you saw the latest Reddit place. There's been a lot of decisions that Spez has made that a lot of people do not agree with, and maybe this is one of his ways of trying to make amends or, you know, just look good for the public facing, because this is an IPO. The public's perception of Reddit now matters more than the actual users. And Microsoft doesn't care what your perception is of whether or not you want to upgrade your Windows, because they're going to do it to you anyways. Microsoft announcing that if you are on 21H2 or 22H2 of Windows 11, no, you're not. You're getting upgraded to 23H2 because those versions are end of life. They're no longer supporting them. They're going to automatically update those eligible devices. Those versions are reaching end of life in October, so it's not clear why Microsoft is trying to force all of this now, but Microsoft, in the same reason why they upgraded to Windows 11 and then refused certain like hardware components from being able to use it for security purposes, because it's good for security and you need it for security reasons, it's all nebulous. It's not understood very well, and Microsoft's not being very forthcoming about the details, but you're gonna have to figure out a way to wiggle out of this in case you don't want to upgrade. Potentially, have you tried macOS? Thought I was gonna say Linux, didn't you? And I don't know what you guys thought I was gonna say, so I'm gonna respond to your comments from yesterday's episode. We got Balto Games saying, yeah, because we'll need that extra power to play the PS5's game catalog, which consists of about 95% PS4 games. Number one, the PS5 has more exclusives to its platform than the PS4 did in its launch span of this time, so I don't get that argument. Number two, I saw a lot of comments yesterday being like, yeah, people couldn't get their hands on the PS5 because of the pandemic. It's selling faster than the PS4 did. Like, the sales numbers don't agree with people who have been saying you can't get your hands on one. They've been available. People have been buying them, and not for scalping reasons. That's been over and done with for years at this point. Number two, PS4 game slapped. Why are we upset about that? You're telling me you don't want to run a PS4 game at a higher resolution at a faster frame rate because you got this uncorked console in front of you? Listen, man, if you like console games, a faster console makes me happy. I don't know, man. I'm just having fun in Helldivers 2. It's been very enjoyable for me. We got Mint Arcade saying PS5 8K experience, still 404 not found, which is true. That's something that's on the physical box. Is it on the slim box? I don't know where my slim box is. But the 8K is emblazoned on the side of the box, and they're like, technically the HDMI supports 8K, but the PlayStation 5 does not. Like, there's one game that gets downsampled from 8K, I think it's called The Tourist, but it doesn't play at 8K, and you can't watch 8K media. You can't output 8K at all, and Sony's just been mum about the whole thing. Not that you need it, it's not like it matters, but it's just, it's weird. Like, it's an HDMI spec discussion rather than the actual capabilities of the whole device. And then we got future KLX 300S Mounter saying, can't wait for the second half of 2022. Me too. 2022 is going to be great. Poor guy has COVID so bad he thinks it's 2022. I tried to go back and find where I said 2022. I couldn't find it. My bad. If I misspoke, yesterday was rough for me. And we got William Calderini saying, I accidentally forgot to season my fries, but while watching this video, they magically ended up tasting just fine. Hell, maybe a little too much seasoning. Maybe you got COVID for me and your taste went, and that's a bad time. Then we got Uninsignificant saying, I'm sorry, he's not a meal. He's a snack. Yeah, I had to slip that one in for Reese. He appreciates it. And I appreciate... being done with this episode of Hot News, I am like feeling overall better than I did yesterday, but like I've had a few worsening symptoms, like my cough is worse and then there's just more congestion that's going on. So we'll see how tomorrow is, if I'm able to close out with a Friday episode. Today was much easier for me than yesterday was. Oh, but my wife comes back tomorrow. That's great. I'm excited for that. Heck yeah. So I'll keep you updated on how all this goes. See you on the next episode.